Today on Real Life Radio.
You brought your dependence and your need to me. And girl, you did right. Jesus is encouraging her. And then he said, go in peace. Are you ready for this? Imagine living like that woman when he said to her, go in peace. I want you to take your heart and your mind and your emotions, and I want you to go now because you're free to go. And your thoughts and your worries, they're at rest now. They're not going to be back on you. You're free.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with the message titled, Three Reasons Why I Worship the Lord. Now, this series called The Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke, a physician, could do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 8, we'll discover how the simple act of a Jewish leader turning to Jesus for help could have been considered an act of treason. You see, up until this point, the synagogue rulers had not been very open to Jesus or his message. Even today, people love to attack Jesus, right? Until they need him. But as the Lord's fame began to spread, something was changing. This Jewish leader's actions showed a father in desperate need of some comfort and healing for his daughter. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that when we exercise our faith towards the Lord, it touches him in ways we cannot understand. Jesus is the only one who can give us new life. It's a life worth living. Now, in his message called Three Reasons Why I Worship the Lord, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
All these people are pressing and pressing and pressing, and Jesus says, somebody touch me! Peter's going, yikes, this is weird. What's with him anyway? Too much ministry. Somebody get Jesus a drink. He's getting tired. No. Power went out. Somebody touched me and power left me. Somebody was affected. And somebody affected my heart, my life. It's amazing. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The word diligently seek him means, watch this, it means to look in every place for him, to search everywhere for him, to investigate like a detective. It means to leave no stone unturned. You know what? When I looked at that definition, this is what God would say to my life. I'm not saying you, this is what God says to my life. Hey, Jack, you know what? You need to come after me and search for me just like you do when you lose your car keys. That's what that word means. Leave no stone unturned. Pillows are flying. Couch is moving. Where's my keys? That's the same word. Did you see it? The Lord says, come after me like that. Get out of my way. Move. Where's Jesus? I got to worship. I got to find a meaning to life. I don't want religion. I want God. Get out of my way. Don't give me something. Move. And when you're searching for God, you may go from synagogue to synagogue or from church to church or read from book to book, but there will come a day when you meet Jesus and there's a connect. You'll be shocked or touched. The issue will stop flowing from you. Life will begin for you. You can't buy it. You can't attain it. You can't earn it. God is a person. You encounter him. And the Bible says, search for him. Cry out. And so this woman touches him. Look at verses 47. Jesus answers not only our need and all, but look at the worship. He answers my worship. Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, you know what that word means? Modern day tongue. When the woman saw she was busted, that there was no place for her to hide, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Look at all that. And Jesus said to her, verse 48, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith made you well. Go in peace. Look at this. What an awesome, wonderful drama. What a great worship service. Number one, she came trembling. I think we should do that. I don't mean being afraid of God. It's, oh my gosh, I'm coming before him, trembling, falling down before him. She declares to him, is that not worship? Oh, Jesus, I snuck up here. I'm unclean. I'm not allowed to be around anybody. I've lost all my money. I haven't been to one doctor that's been able to help me. I've been bleeding for 12 years. I'm constantly cold. I'm anemic. I'm sick. I'm dying. I gave my last penny to either my landlord or my doctor, and I have nothing left. I'm dying, and I came through this crowd that I'm not supposed to be near, and I wiggled my way through there, and nobody could tell, you know, that it was me, and I came by stealth. I'm the one who came behind you. I came behind you, and I reached out, and just when I reached out there, I grabbed the hem of your garment. Because I had said, as it's recorded in Matthew's gospel, she had said to herself, if I could just touch the edge of his garment, I would be made whole. It's me. And what she says? She says, you know what? I'm declaring this in the presence of all the people. That's public worship. This is the reason why I touched you. And I was immediately healed. I'm an unclean woman. I've been bleeding for 12 years. That's why I touched you. Can you imagine people go, lady, are you sure you're healed? Are you sure you're healed? We're not supposed to be near you. You think she cared what they thought? She had come to the end of her life. Man, when we worship, we need to think like that. I'm coming to the end of my life. This is it, God. Is this your last day on earth? Is it my last day on earth? I don't know. But you know what? I need to worship him like it's my last day on earth. Man, I'd hate to be found out slacking off on the Lord when he's worthy of everything. He's not going to beat us up. Hey, you should have worshipped me more. He's not going to do that. He's going to say, Jack, I gave you everything, and welcome to the kingdom, and I love you. And when I see him, when you see him face to face, you know what we're going to be thinking? We're not going to be thinking, I wish I would have invested more in Microsoft. You are not going to think that thought. Disney, 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 more Disney stock. No, no. You know what you're going to be thinking? Why did I play it so safe in my stupid little life on earth? Look at this place. Look at the angels bowing down and humanity singing. Why was I so cautious? Why did I look on me so much? Man. Which leads us to this declaration Jesus makes. It's awesome, and we'll move quickly to the closing final point. Listen, verse 48, Jesus said to her daughter, and listen, especially you ladies, you need to mark this. Guys, you need to mark it, but if you don't mark it, have your wife mark it in your Bible next to you. Or if you're sitting next to some guy, mark his Bible all up. Here you go. This is awesome. Church, respond if you know the answer. How long was the little girl? How old was the little girl? Anybody remember? 12 years old. Did it say that she was the only daughter of the leader of the synagogue? Yeah, only daughter. You think Jesus knows that? Yeah. How long was the woman bleeding? Does Jesus say daughter to her? Not only does he say daughter to her, he implies that she's his daughter. Daughter. If you have not been touched in 12 years and ostracized from life and unable to worship and sneaking around all your life because you are worse than the worst because you're so contaminated, and in that culture, like this lunatic culture you and I live in, well, if he's sick, he must have sinned. That is a godless heresy. Well, you know, man, the guy lost his job, then his house burned down, his kid got sick, and his cat bit him. That guy must be living in sin. You know how evil that is? By the way, God is furious over that stuff. That is heresy. This woman lived under that same specter, and Jesus calls her daughter. Listen to this. When he said to her daughter, that word implies you're with me now. Does that mean anything to you? If you've not suffered, it doesn't mean anything to you. But you think it meant something to her? Daughter, you're with me now. Next word, rejoice. That means the time for you to be happy has come. The Time for you to be glad? It's now, daughter. Your faith, that word is, you put your hope in the right spot, in the right place. You didn't go to some big rock or some totem pole. You brought your dependence and your need to me. And girl, you did right. Jesus is encouraging her. And then he said, go in peace. Are you ready for this? Imagine living like that woman. When he said to her, go in peace, I want you to take your heart and your mind and your emotions, and I want you to go now because you're free to go. And your thoughts and your worries, they're at rest now. They're not going to be back on you. You're free. It's over. You're done. It's life from here on out, girl. Look, is this the Jesus you know? If you don't have him, if you don't have this Jesus from the Bible, what do you have? When you sin some whopper and you feel like an absolute bum and you can't even lift your head up to him, you're so sick of yourself and you're angry and you feel you if you don't take it to Jesus at that moment, you'll do some bizarre penance for months and you'll bum everybody out that's around you. Nobody can figure you out. You're such a grump. It's because you blew it and you know it and you can't accept God's forgiveness. And the Lord is trying to lift your chin off of your chest to say, tell me about it. Get honest with him. Tell him about it. This woman announces, I'm a bleeder. I've had a hemorrhage from my female parts for 12 years and you healed me. You know what? Pick your head up off your chin, direct it straight to the face of God and say, God, I cheated on my income tax. I've been lusting over the secretary, or I hate that guy. I want that guy dead. And I know that's wrong and it's evil, it's sin. God, forgive me. You know what the Lord does? He says right there, if your heart is repentful, it says that if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you don't apply the Bible in your life, then you know what you'll become. You'll become a bitter old man or woman. That is not God. That is not Bible. Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for you and I, that we might receive the righteousness of God through him by faith. If you're burdened, give it up. Go straight to him like these people are doing in the story before us and worship him. Third, quick, I've talked too long. Got to go. Verses 49 to 56. Jesus Christ is my life. That's why we worship him. Verse 49 to 50 says that it's a life of faith. While he was still speaking, someone came to the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the teacher. Just leave him alone. But when Jesus heard it, mark that. Jesus heard that. Nothing escapes him. And he answered and said to the man, don't be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. What a touching moment. The scene was of a father weeping, desiring to see his daughter healed. Now she's dead. Jesus turns and says, don't be afraid. This is awesome. Jairus' daughter, verse 42, remember, 12 years old. Hey, could it be this? Do you think it's a coincidence? She's 12 years old, and the woman's been bleeding for 12 years? One side of town, a woman wakes up in the morning, she feels pain. She feels pain, she starts calling her friends. I feel pain. Her friends get big smiles on their faces and begin to prepare hot towels. In Israel, they would have gotten two milking stools and she would have begun to squat and give birth to the baby. Joy would have filled the house and crying with tears of joy 12 years ago. Across town, 12 years ago, there's a woman who's getting out of bed and she feels pain and she finds out that her bed is blood soaked. She calls nobody. She's embarrassed. She's shamed. Doesn't stop. She cries. She's alone. No one's there to share. And she's lonely. Two women, two crying, two in pain. One brings forth a baby, one brings forth death. And Jesus fixes it all in a moment. And that would require us, my friend, to trust him. Jesus Christ is my life. It's a life of trust. I cannot suggest anyone else on this planet to put all your trust in but Jesus alone. It's just the way that it is. People with great intentions may give us great promises, But there's not one human being on earth that has the power to fulfill a promise. Even if we wanted to, we could fail. Verse 51 says, and when he came into the house, he permitted no one to go inside except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the girl. Now all wept, and that is the people outside. They were all weeping, all the friends of this ruler. They were weeping and mourning for her. But Jesus said, don't weep. She's not dead. She's sleeping. And they ridiculed him. Matthew says they mocked him to scorn. They made fun of him, knowing that she was dead. This is a radical moment because Peter, James, and John, remember that? Peter, James, and John, you've heard this. Every time Jesus is going to do something incredibly radical, he always gets Peter, James, and John. I think all the other guys got everything just fine. There's no problem with the other guys. They're all in on it all the time. Now, Peter, James, and John, stand right here. Oy vey. Okay, stay right there. Watch. And the mom and the dad are there. This is an amazing thing. Jesus says to the crowd that's crying out in the courtyard, it's okay, don't worry about it. She's sleeping. And they laughed. You're crazy. They knew what dead was. The girl's gray. She's cold. Jesus says, she's just sleeping. He wasn't talking about she's taking a nap. He's talking about the dead in Christ, the body. God, Old and New Testament, always refers to the dead body of a believer as taking on the appearance of sleep. But the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. The believer, the moment this, look, if I drop dead in 2 minutes, my body's here. Instantly, I'm in the presence of the Lord. Woo-hoo! I'm having a great time. And even though I'm like, and don't pray to bring me back. I'll be fine where I'm at. If I start coming back, I'm going to get up and slap you for praying me back. Look, listen, when Uncle Ben is dead and he's laying in his casket, I tell you, as a pastor, this is a toughie because people will come up to see Uncle Ben. Uncle Ben, get up! Uncle Ben, get up! As people grab you, you got to move. Don't, come over here, come over here. They are associating Uncle Ben in that body. Uncle Ben is not there, man. Have you ever been in the desert and seen a tortoise show and the turtle's not there? You don't see, come on, turtle, get up, man. It's an empty shell. There is no turtle in there. It's just the shell. When we die, it's just the body that God gave us for this world. The part that writes songs and says and does and dreams and all that, it's gone. It's just a shell. And so Jesus says, she's sleeping. He's referring to the body. Then he calls her back. And the word that he uses is amazing. He says to the people, she's just sleeping. Now watch this. Verses 54 to 56, we learn this, and we'll be done with this, that it's a life worth living. But he put them all outside. He took all the mockers and threw them out of the building. This is great. Love to have seen that. Took her by the hand. The word in the Greek means grabbed her firmly. Jesus grabbed her, ready to pull her up. All right, girl. All right, and remember, people are watching this. And he called to her. This is a beautiful word. He didn't whisper, and he didn't scream. He called, and the word implies, as you call a person from the next room over. Hey, Lisa, can you bring me that coffee cup, or can you bring me that little girl? Arise. Come on back. And it says that her spirit returned. She arose, and Jesus said to her parents, give her something to eat. Isn't that great? And the parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anybody what had happened. He didn't want people to follow him because he was doing miracles. He wanted people to follow him for who he was. But miracles come along with the deal. My friend, this morning as we end with this, are you astonished when you worship him? Or is so much baggage of this life weighing us down? Are we so easily distracted? I know we are. I am. We are so busy, we're too busy for our own good. I read an FBI report recently, a couple of days ago actually. And one of the prescribed targets of local Hezbollah that's in the LA basin is our power. This summer, they're supposed to target our power supply and our water supply. And the article, the thing went on to say, if this happens, there'll be no television, there'll be no lighting, there'll be no pump stations for water. The water can't be pumped to us. That would be a crisis. And they outlined all these terrible things that will happen. And I got to tell you, yeah, you know what? We should have water. We need to save up water and get candles. And, you know, if they're successful. And I thought, but 90% of the stuff on the list ain't so bad. No TV. What would you do without your TV? Read the Bible. No internet, because your computer, everything would be down. And then I thought, well, I have a laptop. The battery's good for about 2 hours. Can't charge it. Not too bad. I predict, even though we'd be sitting in darkness, I predict churches will be packed at that time. Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Isn't it great that he's faithful even when we're not? Isn't it great that we can be goofing off like a bunch of nuts, and when something happens, we run back to him and he's always there? I suggest you don't live your life like that, but maybe today you need to run back to him now and stay there. Life's a lot better with him like that. Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word and your wonderful, what a message this stuff is. What a great book. Lord, I just have to confess with Peter, way back when you asked your disciples, will you guys also leave me? Lord, I have to say, where shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. So, Father, I pray that you'd bless these here that are listening, those that are listening in. Lord, it may be those on radio, it could be those, Lord, at podcast or downloading this message all around the world. Wherever they're at right now, Lord, you are so great. To fill, Lord, if it's the cab of that big rig truck across America or running through Russia. Maybe it's that high school dorm class up in Santa Barbara. Or it's friends, Lord, down in Central Australia. Father, we pray that you'd fill their home and their lives with the presence of you and all your glory. And that, Father, all around the world, we would be worshipers of you. You alone are worthy. If there's anyone here today that does not yet know that and has never come to know you that way, I pray, Father, that you touch their lives and cause them today to make that decision, that right where they're at, they would say, yes, Jesus, I need you now. Maybe you're dead already. Jesus wants to speak life into you. Maybe this morning, you're ostracized and alone and you have no one, even though you're in a crowded room. Jesus wants to fill your life. And maybe this morning you are so desperate that you're falling down at the feet of anyone who'll listen. Little did you know it was Jesus that you needed to fall down before the whole time. Say yes to him now. You will never regret that. Follow him with all your heart. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Life Radio with his message called Three Reasons Why I Worship the Lord. So glad you took the time to be with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, we don't always understand what God's doing, but the Bible tells us that one day we will. The question is, do we know God personally? Many believe there's a God and that he's powerful, but having faith in God is to know and understand that he cares about you immensely. God's power could force obedience, but instead, he gives us the freedom to choose to come to him through our own free will. So, if you're wondering what that means to have a personal relationship with God, why don't you let us help? Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, click on that tab that's labeled Know God, spelled out that's K-N-O-W, God. Now, once you're there, you'll learn about things like how our sin is separating us from God and how God has made a way through his son Jesus Christ to get right with him. Again, it's that tab labeled Know God, and it's there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.